be coming this morning yet. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we're able to be out this morning. Such a difference from this time last week. I was very squeaky and my voice lost. I'm glad it's back, and I'm glad that everyone's here this morning. Please be with those that aren't here, Lord. I pray for our brothers and sisters across the world that are getting ready for church, Lord, that are turning up at their house, Lord. Please, you would inspire and encourage and help at every turn. But most importantly, Lord, for souls to be saved and for Christians, Lord, to be edified. Please bless each head that's bowed in your presence. Please put your good hand upon Colin and John and Pat and Steve. And Lord, us as well. We love you and thank you. And we pray this and, of course, our private prayer requests in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 If you would like to take your wee black hymn books, wee black hymn books, and turn to hymn number 11 in the wee black hymn books. We'll start singing our hymns this morning with hymn number 11, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Walk with the Lord in the light. Turn this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Death lies called the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. A wise man's heart is at the right hand, but a fool's heart at the left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offences. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be in danger thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not what he aids, then must be put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labour of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy prince speaks in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when the king is the son of nobles, and thy prince eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By such slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answers all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in the bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Amen.
Verses in Ecclesiastes is well worth reading, but I don't know if you ever knew where a fly in the ointment comes from, or a little birdie told me. It was only sent, but there are some excellent ones there. Number 10 applies a lot to me over the past 6 or 8 months. And it talks about if the iron be blunt and he wet not the edge, then he must put to more strength.
Verse 2 in a very important one. Think of it.
Oh, yeah. All good verses. Thank you very much, Mark. God bless you. Just want to remind everybody that we're in the colour of my underwear from before I was married. My wife, there's a few occasions whenever my whites turned pink because I had washed something red in with them without understanding that you just don't do that. But life is a great teacher. Please make sure that you get one of those. I just want to add or remind there at the first of our Mine and Monica's, still the same, M&M. Ed Bissett is a good friend of Monica's for the whole time that she's been over here, and mine for as long as we have been together, so that's about just over 16 years. He, after having a cancerous growth removed from his bile, it was found to be stage 3 cancer. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So he is undergoing treatment. Now, it's just in the bile. I don't think it would spread anywhere. So please pray for Ed Bissett. And Monica's sister found that she has breast cancer. So please pray for Cindy, if you would, as well. I know there are many other names. These are just the latest, the ones that are closest to us. Please don't forget to pray for Israel. Pray for Israel and fight their corner. God will do exactly the same for you, and more so, because he can do it better. And do pray for each other. I know we'll get to that in just a second. I know we have private prayer requests. Does everybody here have private prayer requests today? Okay. But does anybody have any other ordinary prayer requests that they would like to add to this list? No. Well, I have one other. And no, I don't wish to labour a point, but Lynn had to go and get a couple of teeth out. And that just does my head in. My dentist is one of the nicest guys in the world, but having to go for him for treatment is not my favourite way to spend an afternoon. Please pray for the swelling in Lynn's mouth to go down and for her gums to heal up as quickly as possible, if you would. It is not nice. It's nice to have a nice dentist, but that's like being robbed politely. So, on that note, please pray for Paddy, my dentist, if you would. He's a good fella and he needs to get saved. Anyway, Paddy McKenna. Are there any other prayer requests? Please pray for Will. He's got a bit of a sputter. His mum does too. Is your granny okay at the moment?
Yes.
She's got a bit of a sputter as well. I don't know if that means you want to wash your hands after you shake hands with him. He's with us anyway. I must apologise to everyone that's ever been in Bethel, but there was many a time I came to church with my nose running. I took a whole toilet roll and cut it up into 4 or 5 sheet lengths and put it in one pocket. And by the end of the service, they were all wet and in the other pocket. But I insisted on coming out and sharing my joy. Please do pray for Will and his family at this time as well. Anybody got any thanks?
Yeah, being here.
That's a good one. Yes, Mrs. Bradford.
I was going to say safety on these roads. I think Link probably drove on them the most, but she didn't have any accidents, and that is a blessing.
Yes, indeed. Did I see your hand up, Mike?
On the cell phone.
Were you going to say that? Sorry.
I know there only were about 5 or 6 inches of snow, but our road was bottom and without any gripping, even the dual carriageway, there were people creeping along there, and there was a big lorry came tearing up that road, and the road was a bottle. And I was expecting to hear a thump and a crash whenever he came to the other side of it, but thankfully he was okay. Just be careful. There is supposed to be another storm coming our way. We had a little bit of snow off of the last one. I think we are expecting some high winds and rain. So just be careful when you're out there. And pay attention on the roads. A number of years ago, I used to travel up and down to Portadown a lot. And it was one Christmas, I was traveling to Portadown, and I saw a substation go up in smoke away in the distance as I was coming down the Glenshean Pass. Massive flash in the high winds, and then travelling along the M1 just by Salt Marine, I don't know if you know it, there was a big branch of a tree was down on the motorway, so just be careful and don't take anything for that. Don't forget our absent friends, so Frank and Colin and John and Pat and Steve, please pray for them all, and I think that's about that. Amen. Leave it at that. Well, I just want to ask you, brother, if you would, if you're fit to pray, if you would be in space. Let's sing another song from the Wee Black Book. Alright. Hymn number 36. Number 36 in the Wee Black Book is Oh, I Want to See Him. Hymn number 36. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. sort of torn about singing another one or just diving into the sermon. Well, we put it to a vote. Do you want to sing another one? Have you got a favourite you want to sing then? 440 from the big book. Hey, let's do that. Brethren, we have met to worship. I think maybe it was just a bit of a leftover. I can feel my voice drying out a wee bit there. I'm hoping I've enough gas in the tank to keep on going. I think I do. Hey, 448, brethren, we have met to worship. Devotions, And there are a number of great verses in there, one of which sort of goes along with our ongoing Sunday morning theme of back to basics, or the fundamentals of Christianity. Want to have call this service this morning, or the title for it is, There Are Limits. There are limits. There's literally no limits on how far you can go for Christ, but there are limits on what God is prepared to accept from people. Let's read this. There are only 13 verses in this short chapter of Isaiah. Let's begin. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. For I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. This is our text this morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our particular text is verse number 6 this morning. Seek ye the Lord whilst he may be found, but I would like to just give a few comments on the rest of this portion of Scripture before we get. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering to us, Lord. For the roof over our heads, Lord. For just for saving us, Lord. For preserving your word for us. And for helping us day by day. I pray, Lord, that you would grasp a hold of our hearts. And Lord, that you would hold us and keep us and not be done with us, Lord, but keep working on us and keep rubbing off the rough edges and keep helping us. Please be with our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they may be. And Lord, if someone needs a helping hand, please give them a helping hand. And if some of us need a thick ear, Lord, please deliver that too. But please give us what it is that we need this day. lesser time around your word, Lord, and in your house. And we ask all this and for our private prayer requests and for Israel, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This is not a new portion of God's word to us, although it does seem to have some what might seem to be confusing verses at the very, very start of this portion. It begins, as every good gospel invitation begins, with a gospel invitation. Anyone, I want you to see that there is not one person excluded from God's invitation. I know many times, I don't know if anyone has ever read the book of the Iceman, about a man, I think he was a hitter or a thug for hire, who would actually beat up and be a leg breaker for a mob guy, and who later came to Christ, and it's wonderful to hear about that. But God just doesn't call the criminal to justice, because in God's eyes we are all criminals for having broken his commandments. God calls everyone. And I thought it was quite interesting. So everyone that first hath come to the waters, there's three or four foods, there's waters, there's wine, and there's milk. Come ye and eat. Come ye buy and eat. And all of those things are referred to at various places in the gospel as spiritual food. Milk is referred to in the New Testament as simple and straightforward gospel preaching. Look, you know you're a sinner, but God loves you and wants you to be saved. The meat is often referred to as teachings from the Bible that you are going to have to stop and think about and make decisions about. The tough meat, sometimes it's called. The living waters that the Lord promised would flow out of your belly once you get saved and start telling people about the gospel. And we know, of course, that the Lord referred to himself as the bread of life. And if any man would eat or consume, in other words, make that part of his daily diet and part of his life, then he would live forever. And you may even have noticed wine being mentioned once in the Good Samaritan, where they poured oil and wine into the man's wound to cleanse and to purify him. Now that wine might have been not the drinking wine, but a very strong alcoholic wine that had been used as a disinfectant, but it was to disinfect. And that indeed is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And this is the invitation. These things will cost you and me nothing. We can have them without money, but they are priceless. You need to remember that they are priceless because it cost Christ everything. And there can be years in mind when we tell God that we are sorry for our sins and ask him to save us. There is a little bit of a challenge here when the Lord asks us this question. Why is it we spend so much time on stuff? Just things. Stuff that doesn't profit us is not good for us. It seems to be a story today that we have this question. We spend time and effort on things, on belongings that don't advance us one little bit, and God asks us this question. And as if to say, you can have something that will change your life so profoundly that it will lift you from the straight, from the broad road that leads to destruction, and set you on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. And then why do you want to go out drinking? Or why do you want to go out smoking or doing drugs or chasing wee fellas? Why do you spend so much time on useless things? It's worth thinking about. God said, eat ye that which is good. Take good things into your life and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That doesn't mean to overindulge. That means to build yourself up and understand and rejoice in what God has saved you from. There is a little promise here. It's called Listen to God, repent of your sins, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, even the sure mercies of David. And what this is actually saying is that when you listen to God and get saved, God will keep you in the palm of his hand, and you will never perish. I will never perish. Not because I'm good or I have some spiritual powers that are beyond the ken of mortal man, but because I have trusted in the God whose limits are not known. They're not known. Everything that we see, our experience is based on everything that we can see and touch and have explained to us. But those are things that God made. And they were made by someone greater than all of these things. That is the sure promise that you will get to heaven if you trust Christ as your Savior. If you listen to God, you will be brought to heaven. Because that was prepared by God. It was bought by God through Christ's shed blood on the cross of Calvary. It was secured by God in the palm of his hand. And it's offered to God to everyone. It's worth knowing. Anyway, as we go on, we get down to a little verse that I've said is our text this evening, this morning. We'll refer to some of these other ones in just a moment. And it's good news. It encourages everybody to seek the Lord. And it's not just for lost souls, but this is for you and I as well. We should seek the Lord each day and ask him, Lord, is there a better way that I could be doing things? We should seek him. But seek him whilst he may be found. Because there will come a time when it's too late, even as Christians, to do the Lord's will. I heard something really stupid a number of years ago. It has always stuck with me. But someone once said, whenever they were challenged about raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they were going to wait until their children were able to make a decision for themselves and let them make a decision, leaving a huge spiritual void in that child's life. And someone said, would you leave a child until they're 15 or 16 to teach them to read? To teach them to write? To teach them mathematics? I want to tell you something. Has anyone ever heard of a Cane Corso dog? There's supposed to be a thing about that size there. Like a Doberman on steroids, only bigger. Would you want to leave the training of that dog until it's bigger than you are, to start smacking it with a rolled up newspaper, to start grabbing it by the scruff and sticking its nose in a little puddle of pee that it left in the kitchen? Because the thing will turn and eat you if you try to do that when it's fully grown and it has known no restraint or known nothing its whole life. And likewise, that is what we need to do. And it is not an admission of failure to call upon the Lord. It's an admission of knowing our limits and knowing that God has no limits, that we call upon God. Because there will come a time it's too late. Sometimes it's going to be too late to share the gospel with a friend. It's going to be too late to raise your children right. It's going to be too late to learn those verses that would make a big impact in your life. Promise, it's going to be too late to learn about the promises that God has for you and I. Sometimes I'll write thoughts down as they come to me. And I just wrote this down. Continual rejection will lead to a habit of rejection, which will lead to a lifestyle of rejection, which will lead to a life of rejection, which leads to an eternity of rejection. When people keep saying no to God, it will become automatic, it will become a habit, and it will end up with that person having God say no to them. You made your choice, you rejected my direction in this life, you have chosen a life without me. You would hate life with me in heaven. You would hate it. Every day is going to be church on steroids. Every day is going to be praising God. Every day is going to be just looking at Him and being thankful that He saved your souls. Every day will be wonderful. Do you ever get up of a morning and joints crack and muscles are sore and you've got a brain fog on you? And that's before COVID came. Have you ever gotten up a day when you just literally bounced out of bed and ran down the stairs and put the kettle on, looking forward to a cup of tea and a bit of toast and a couple of eggs, knowing that you had a whole day of stuff ahead of you and you were fit for it and enjoyed it and were inspired by it? Imagine that being the way it is going to be for every day of the rest of your life. That's what heaven is going to be like. And then singing God's songs and having a conversation with Him and wondering what you can do to help the brethren, or when you're out and about, think, oh, so-and-so might like that thing, I must pick that up. Can you imagine a lost man that thinks of nothing but drinking and smoking and carousing and cursing and swearing being forced to live like that? And we're driving round the bend in the place, unfortunately, for souls that reject Christ in the end of the ages of eternity, is a place that is without God and without His influence and without His peace and without His calm. That's hell and the lake of fire. I have seen this happen to people. It's an awful thing to behold, and that is why it is so important that we add an inch to our step as Christians. I have seen souls slipping off into a crisis, forsaken not just Christ as Savior and heaven as their eternal home, but Christ's promises right now. His provision, His comfort, His security, His assurance, His wisdom, His little, you ever had a little nudge from God in the right direction? Or Him just lifting you and setting you down a different direction? Imagine turning your back on that. By the God that loves you, wants the best for you, and knows what's coming around the corner, and you keep going the wrong way. But there are people like that. Live the life of a fool and spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Not for you and I, for the devil and his angels. Imagine going for that when you couldn't have had the life of a child of God, a beloved child of God, that can call their father Abba, Daddy, and an eternity as a joint heir with Christ. As we go on into this portion of God's Word, we get the reminder that God sees the big picture, but He also loves and sees each one of our lives. And we might not think we are much in this day, and we are told continually, on the one hand, that we are nothing, that we are an infection on the face of the earth, an infestation, with the powers that be wanting to cut our numbers by 90%. But God loves each one of us. And the value of each one of our souls is worth more than all of the riches in the world, all the gold, all the silver, all the oil, all the technologies, all of the everything. The value of each one of our souls is worth more than that. So consider and remember that sometimes when God asks us to step out of our comfort zone, and He will, that He knows what's coming, and He needs us to say the things that need to be said, to speak a word in season, to remind someone who thinks maybe that their life is over that they're loved, they're thought of, they're considered, so that their soul will be saved and their life will be worth something in this world. We might never know what's going through somebody's head. I don't know about you. Did anybody here ever fish? Did you ever catch an eel? Did you ever try to hold it in your hand? and they're covered in slime, and they will slip out of your hand. I've seen gloves with wee dimples in them that you can use to grab and eat. Sometimes my thoughts are like that when I'm trying to pray. And I'll be naming somebody in the church or a family member or a friend, and my thoughts will be away somewhere else, and I have to grasp them and bring them back. That's how much difficulty I have keeping a track of my thoughts. I would hate to have to be party to everybody else's thoughts. I couldn't keep track of them. I couldn't put everybody in the same place together and give them a set of instructions that will keep everybody else right. I wouldn't be able to keep track of the battles that everybody is fighting, of the hardships that everybody has. But God can. And God does. And God's heart breaks whenever people go through difficult times that could have so easily been avoided just by keeping their eyes on Him. He sees how everything works together. And He knows what will affect the hearts and minds of those that love Him and those that don't. And we also know that it is God's will that everyone get saved. It shows us that people have their own free will. And as we read on here, verses 11 and 12, there's a little promise that a lot of people seem to think doesn't actually apply. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Sorry, 10 and 11. This is what these verses say. As surely as the rain comes down, which it does, and the snow, and nobody knows where it goes to. We know that it evaporates and goes back up into the clouds, and they call it the hydrologic cycle. God said, my word will not return unto me void. Every word that somebody hears will either save them or condemn them. But God's word will not return void. It is not useless. The Lord said that right now He wants to save souls for the endless ages of eternity. For each one of us. He also wants to open the door to Christian power in this life. And I'm not talking about laying hands on people and people falling over backwards and hooting like an owl and barking like a dog and laughing like a hyena. I'm talking about real power. The power to control the most uncontrollable thing in this world. And I'm not talking about a fusion reaction. I'm talking about ourselves. And we don't need drama for that. We need peace for that. And God offers us peace. We don't need aimlessness for that. We need a direction, a purpose. And there's going to be enough nonsense that comes our way that God said, if you do it my way, you'll mount up with wings like eagles. And I have never seen an eagle stop at a road checkpoint showing his driver's license yet. He just zooms right over. And that's God's promise to us. He has promised us a secure home in heaven with a glorified and sin-free body and His robes of righteousness. And the promise that no matter what's going on in the world right now, we will stand there someday. No matter what's going on in your own life or around your life, it's all greater. You ever hear that saying? Some people say it adds a little bit of flavour. But you really want the meat and the potatoes and vegetables. The gravy is just the fine bit. We have the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables. We have eternal life. And we have all of these things. Everything else is gravy. It's not going to affect your eternity. In fact, whenever we do get to heaven, And the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I used to wonder whenever it said every tear will be wiped away. I think we will weep tears of sadness and regret for the things that we never did, for the people that we never spoke to. But the Lord will say, they heard the same words that you heard. Those people that you know. They heard the same songs that you heard. Only instead of grasping the Bible and holding it close, they grasped the Bible and tore it up, whether they did it for real or whether they just rejected it in themselves. The Lord said, it saved you. It could have saved you, but you rejected it. The Lord's going to say, you rejected the creation. You rejected the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You rejected the little gospel tracts that went through the door. You rejected every Sunday school lesson. You mocked every Sunday school teacher, every minister, every time a grandparent tried to, with tears pointing in the direction of the cross. Friends, the Lord's wrath abides with that Christ-rejected soul. And someday, if they don't get out from underneath that, and there's only one way to do that, is to admit that you're a sinner and you need Christ, that wrath will fall upon them. Anyone ever remember when the Lord said, whoever comes to me will be broken. Whoever falls upon the rock will be broken. And God will put you together again, a new creature. But on whomsoever the rock falls, it will grind them to powder, and the wind will carry them away. That wrath will come with the sin nature still present in a new and eternal body that will suffer in hell and the lake of fire forever and ever, where their worm dieth not and the flames are not quenched forever. Forever. And the worst of it all is it never had to be that way. But God will say, you heard the word. You heard my invitation. You knew of my son. Why would you not accept? Could have had everything for free. Now you and I, we don't have to know everything that's going on. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord has revealed much of what is going on. He has revealed to us in the Bible technology, our little pieces of plastic that bring images to life, that bring scenes and videos from around the world, literally up into the palm of our hand. He has revealed to us what society is like, where they will persecute you and I, and we know the foundations are there already for the persecution of Bible-believing Christians. We know that religion is where the Bible said it would be, when even men that claim to be Christians never utter a word of the gospel. I was in a Church of Ireland funeral recently, and there wasn't one word of the gospel mentioned. Just a vague promise that someone would be in heaven. That is the state that religion is in. We have the state of warfare. We have seen the missiles hitting tanks. We have seen tanks hitting tanks. We have seen ships shooting down drones. But the Bible mentioned a time when no flesh would be saved. And we know that's talking about the big buttons that fire the nuclear missiles, that dump the chemicals, the nerve agents that release these bacteria and viruses into the atmosphere that would kill all flesh. These things are there. The state of the world with its famines and pestilences and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And most importantly and most unlikely, Israel being a lesson. God says, bless Israel and I will bless you. Curse Israel and you're in a world of hurt. All these things. that were written 2,000 years ago by people that couldn't understand a mobile phone or a satellite communications network or a piece of glass fiber running along the seabed for thousands of miles. I'm going, what does it mean, God? And God just says, just write it down. There's going to come a day when they will know exactly what it means and they will read that book that was finished 2,000 years ago and say, only God could have produced this book. Every word is inspired by God. And every word is either history or prophecy. And they're coming true right in front of us. This should encourage us to seriously consider calling upon the Lord. Lord, I heard the pastor's brilliantly presented sermon this morning, and I think maybe I need to be doing something different. Hey, even the pastor's thinking he may be doing, should be doing something different. Lord, what would you like me to do? Lord, I think I'm running a bit low on smarts. Can you help me? And Lord said that I'm not saying James 2. If anybody's lacking a bit of wisdom, just ask me and they'll get a ton. Certainly. He put these things in his word so that we could know through it all. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Even when the world is circling the drain or teetering on the brink, you and I don't have to. We can stand on the solid rock that never wobbles, never moves, always points the same direction, and we know that we can depend upon Him. But there is a window of opportunity, because our verse of Scripture said, didn't say just seek ye the Lord, it says seek Him whilst He may be found. There is a window of opportunity. I am sure everybody remembers the parable of the sower and the seed. I was talking to someone about that not very long ago. There are times whenever, even with the best of intentions, we can get distracted. We can just take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on the troubles and woes of the world. Don't let that happen to you. There are times whenever the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world can draw our attention away and make even the best of Christians unfruitful. Don't let that happen to you. Always bear in mind that you are a child of a God that loves you so much that He gave His eldest, His only begotten, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. And there are some that forget the last five words, the while He may be found, and are presuming upon the grace and the patience of God. Oh God, I am going to seek You when I am old. I think Norman and I were just having a conversation out the back about age. It seems to be a common conversation thing these days. And if I had waited till I was old to seek the Lord, I wouldn't have Monica. And I wouldn't be standing at the front of this church, and I wouldn't have been able to hand out hundreds of thousands of tracts and speak to tens of thousands of souls. I would never have had that. In fact, I would probably be so entrenched in bad behavior that I could not consider God unless my world was so shaken or so broken that I had no choice but to face God. Some people sit in church and hear that they're going to hell, but never have to get saved. They're not going to hell. They're being lied to. Just because Jesus died for the sins of the world does not mean the whole world is going to heaven. It means the world could go to heaven. Each person in it could. The Word of God actually explains that there are some people that are so entrenched in bad behavior, God is just wiped His hands off them. In Romans chapter 1, He says, I've given them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't even want to consider God or consequences. And we see that creeping into many parts of society. People think they can do anything, and there's no comeback. Here is what God said to a beloved people that were his from birth, that had his rules and his commandments taught to them from they were no age at all. This is what God said in Proverbs 29, more wisdom of Solomon. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and don't worry what world opinion said. If I was to agree with and follow what the world opinion, according to our broadcaster, says, I would have a rainbow flag up here, and there'd be a collection box for Ukraine. But those things are wrong. I would be promoting Biden and bewailing the fact that he overturned Roe v. Wade and made it harder for people to kill their babies. I would be bewailing that. I cannot believe what the world tells me, because it changes day by day. But I can believe what the Bible tells me, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter what you feel either. If your feelings are different to what the Bible said. Because there are days, as we mentioned earlier, that we get up feeling fine and nothing will bother us. And then there are days when we get a hard day, a difficult day, and we're cracking up. Isn't it a good job we are not gods? Because how much of the world would still exist if God gave us the power to reshape the entire universe when we were having a bad day? And that is why the Bible tells us to keep a hold of our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's why God gives us these rules. You know what I think of, the way I look at it sometimes, I'm like sitting on a boat, and the sea is all of my feelings and all of my thoughts. I pick out the ones that I want to think on. I go fishing for them, and I pull them into my boat. Those are the thoughts and the feelings that I entertain. The rest of them, there can be a storm brewing. It's not coming into the boat, because the boat will never sink, because the boat is Jesus Christ. I pick. I'm not taking the ones that flop in, I'm taking the ones that pull in. And don't worry about what the devil's temptations say. His aim in life is to destroy you, because he hates God. And you remind him of God. I remind him of God. And you see this, and you will experience this. Remember this little verse, God's promise to you. Look in Luke 21, verse 28. When you see these things come to pass, look up. Don't zero in your attention on these things. The Bible says, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for your good time. God bless each one of you. All right. We're going to have our closing hymn. Does anyone have one that would...
Four, Mark, in the black book.
Number four. Number four in the black book, which is Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's stand as we sing number four in the black book. Holy, Holy, Holy. attention. God bless you. I'm going to say Happy New Year. It's not too late. It's only a couple of weeks in yet. There's still a lot of it to go, and I hope it is. Please be much in prayer for each other. And amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little aside from the world, for this time in your word, and around those good old songs. Please bless us, Lord, as we go our separate ways. And I pray, Lord, that you keep us safe and other folks safe on the roads during this time of battle. Lord, be with those that are not here for whatever the reason. And please restore those that have slipped and slid, Lord, to fellowship with you and to fellowship with the brethren. Please be with brothers and sisters across the world. Bless those that are even now just starting out, Lord. And I pray that it would be a good day in Christ for all those that love you. Thank you for loving us, for saving our souls. And we ask this and many private prayer requests, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And please look after Israel, Lord. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship.